It is genuinely good to be here this morning. In fact, we want to thank my wife and I, Carol, and want to thank the elders for the opportunity to return to Blacksburg. And 34 years, a lot of changes can take place. But it's good to be back. And most of us, of course, have never seen one another, looked at one another. But as we had communion this morning, and we shared, hymns were shared, scriptures were shared, the bread was passed, the cup was passed, there obviously a connection. No matter where we are among fellow believers, there's an immediate sense of God's Spirit and connection. So thank you very, very much. Let's bow together for just a moment of prayer and commit this time of opening God's Word to His ministry to our hearts. Father, no human lips or human words can convey the life of God from heart to heart. Only You can do that. And we recognize that this morning in the strongest possible way. So we simply say, Father, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, would You cause the words that are shared to come alive with Your life and to energize and encourage and to strengthen each one of us. In Christ's name, amen. Arthur Burns was a noted Jewish economist in the city of Washington. His time there spanned a number of administrations. And Arthur Burns was once asked by a group of evangelical politicians to offer prayer at their meeting. He stunned his hosts by praying, Lord, I pray that Jews would come to know Jesus Christ. I pray that Buddhists would come to know Jesus Christ. I pray that Muslims would come to know Jesus Christ. And then, most stunning of all, he finished his prayer. And Lord, I pray that Christians would come to know Jesus Christ. Could it be that he was right? That we as Christians sometimes fail to properly understand and consistently live out the teachings of Jesus? Unfortunately, when we look at history and we examine our own hearts, we all struggle with this. How too often as Christians, as believers, we carry the same kinds of frustrations, the same kinds of issues that beat us down, the same kind of inconsistency in our life and witness. But what if the life that Jesus offers is possible if we rightly understand the way? And with this in mind, I would invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 11, to a passage that has had its call to me for over 50 years. And so what I share with you this morning, I share as a fellow struggler, I share as a fellow discipler, seeking to learn the ways of Jesus and to apply them more and more consistently in my life. But here's what Jesus has to say in Matthew 11, beginning with verse 28. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, for I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light. As we look at these three verses, I just set the context, just a brief context, is that when Jesus was speaking, it was a society crushed by religious baggage. And Jesus invited anyone who is worn down by life to let him show them how to carry that burden. And so the only way to live the life that Jesus offers is to let him show us how to do it. Again, that's the thought of this whole passage from my perspective, is that the only way to live the life that Jesus offers to us is to let him show us how to do it. Here are the thoughts. Number one, this invitation to lifelong learning, first of all, involves a delightful proposal in verse 28. It involves a delightful proposal. But then in verse 29, it involves a sobering challenge. But then in verse 30, it involves a delightful and stunning promise. Let's take a look at those. First of all, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Now, the words "weary" and "heavy burdens" meant someone loaded down. We were loaded down with impossible demands. Someone just plain tired out. Religion in New Testament times was harsh and unrelenting. In fact, if you read Matthew 23, you see Jesus' commentary on religion of his time. In fact, one of the key statements he made to the religious leaders was, "You load people down with heavy burdens, and you don't lift a finger to help them." You know, as pastor, for over 40 years, sadly, it grieved me to see so many Christians weary and burdened down trying to live the Christian life. In fact, in my first pastorate, there was a lifelong deacon there. He was the treasurer, a lifelong leader in that congregation. And he tried to make my life as miserable as possible. My response was to treat him with kindness and love, listen to him. Before I left to go to another congregation, he gave me a call and he came to see me and he said, "Pastor, I want to apologize for my actions." But then he said, "I've had a miserable life. I've been overlooked at work. I've had others promoted ahead of me when I was a better man and better qualified than they were." And he said, "My daughter, when she was dying of cancer, my son-in-law treated her horribly." And then he said to me, "If I see that man again, I will kill him." Here was a dear man, sincere, but broken down and burdened down with issues in his life, with strongholds and bitterness and anger in his life he had never found a solution to. Religion can cause us to be weary and worn out. In my own life, in high school, I had a bent toward God. I just thank Him for His grace that He came to me and was drawing myself to Him. But I was raised in a good congregation. My parents were believers. They loved the Lord. My dad taught the men's Sunday school class there in eastern Oklahoma in that little town for 50 years. I learned much from my dad. We had a good pastor. I learned much from my pastor. And I know it had to be a much broader emphasis on grace than what I caught. I really didn't catch anything about grace. What I caught was a kind of a slogan at that time: we were saved to serve. And so I threw myself into it. And I sang in the choir. I was leader in the youth group. I had a job at the local drugstore making sodas. didn't make much, but I tithed on that regularly. And in fact, I was there with my folks on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And when we had revivals twice a year, I was there every night. But frankly, I was miserable. I was frustrated. I had issues I could not resolve. I knew God had more for me, but I could not find it. And so I went to my dear pastor, Dr. Alexander Best, and I asked him one day, it took a lot of courage to go talk to your pastor when you're a teenager, rather imposing figures. But I asked him, I poured my heart out to him, and I shared with him the struggle I was having, all that I was doing, and his reply was this, keep doing what you're doing. Now, someone told me later, that's a sure recipe for insanity, is you keep doing what you're doing, hoping for different results next time. But God in His mercy and His grace led me to a university where there was a navigator contact group on campus. And I discovered something about Christianity that I'd been looking for all my years since 9 years of age. And that was, I discovered that yes, good works are important, but that's not in the forefront. Actually, it's a relationship with Christ that's nurtured and developed, and then good works naturally flow out of the inner life that's being changed. And so for 50 years, that's been the direction and the discovery to realize that God has a way of helping us deal with our weariness and find the promised rest. It's been 50 years and I'm still learning, but that's okay. It's been a great adventure and it continues to be a great adventure and a great trip with Jesus. But then we find out a sobering challenge, not only the promise of the lifting of heavy burdens and weariness, but here's how we do it. Verse 29. Jesus said, come to me, verse 29, take my yoke upon you. And as the translation I memorize says, let me teach you. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, for I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. The word yoke here in Jesus' day, obviously as He walked with His disciples and followers from place to place, in an agrarian society, they would see farmers out plowing their fields at certain times of the year. And they plowed their fields by having two oxen yoked together with a wooden yoke. And so basically, the symbol of the yoke, the metaphor of the yoke, was that here is an older oxen that knew how to do things. And the younger oxen yoked to the older one, and he learned how to get the job done in yoke with the older animal. But the yoke was also commonly used by a pupil becoming a disciple of a teacher. There was a common ancient Jewish saying which said, put your neck under the yoke and let your soul receive instruction. And basically what the teacher was saying to the disciple in this kind of situation was, you leave your life, your ways behind. Let them go. Give them up. And come under my yoke and learn a new way of life. Learn a new life from me. This is what Jesus was saying to His disciples, the followers then, and He says that to us today. He said to me 50 years ago, Don, leave your self life behind. Trying to figure out what you're going to do, what you ought to be, how you're going to do it, how you're going to get your satisfaction and your delight and your ways, leave that behind and step under my yoke and let me show you a better life. Now, I would suggest to you that this emphasis on the yoke is the same emphasis that we find in the rest of the Gospels where Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. If you save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, come under the yoke with me, take up your cross, death to the old, the new is here. Then you will find life at its richest and its best. So let me teach you then, under the yoke, let me teach you, invites us to a lifelong process. Not of behavior modification, but of inward renewal and transformation of personality and character. That's what Jesus invites us to. And there are wide varieties of ways that Jesus as teacher uses today to teach us how to receive and walk in His life, which is the abundant life He spoke of in John 10:10. The most practical, the most meaningful to me is that first year in college with the Navigator group, I discovered that I could carry God's teaching in my heart by memorizing it. I'd never thought about that. And so at that time, the Navigator topical memory system was 104 verses. And within a year, I had memorized all 104 verses. I just went after it day and night. I said, this is wonderful. It's living bread. Living bread. Living water to my soul. Being watered and fed throughout the day and throughout the night. In fact, that's continued through all these years. And I carry a pack of 3x5 cards. I put it on a Word file. So when I lose them, as sometimes I typically do, I've left them all over the United States, I think. But print them out again, paste them to a 3x5 card, cover them with clear tape, and carry them with me wherever I go. I'm standing in line at Smith Fred Meyer's, and you have a long line. My attitude now is, wow, thank you, Father. What a time to reflect on your word. Standing there in the line, just meditating on God's word, memorizing and going over it again. But, throughout all of our life, that's possible. Small groups, one-on-one. Been helped by one-on-one and small groups, been helped through the body of Christ, the larger body like this, just like this morning in communion, is a means under the yoke of Christ, receiving His life, being trained in the value of community. So there are varieties all of my life, books, MP3, listening to teachers, listening to teachings, listening to Scripture on the MP3, just seeking to say, God, change me from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. Change me into your likeness. I've discovered something. I sure like the new me rather than the old me. But anyway, Jesus said, as Paul referred to this process as our inner nature, in 2 Corinthians 4:16, our inner nature being renewed day by day. But it gets better. I just love this next phrase. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. As I memorized that, I discovered as I investigated, this is the only self-description of Jesus in the New Testament, in the Gospels. The only one. He describes Himself and God in the flesh. And how does He describe Himself to us? He said, as a teacher, I am humble and gentle. I really need that. I'm hard-headed. I'm a slow learner. And you know something? Through all these years, walking with Jesus under His yoke, taking up the cross daily, death to self, no to self, yes to Him. He's been so gentle, so patient, so kind. I've been the problem, not Him. And it's so wonderful to have a teacher like this. I've had some teachers in real life. I've had a lot of great teachers, but I had one teacher that he was mean. Mr. Keeney. Mr. Keeney was my 7th grade teacher. And he always taught from the back of the room. Otherwise, he would teach, we would listen, we couldn't see him. And he would watch us. And if we got out of line in any way, he would walk down the aisle. You couldn't hear him. He had a big ring like this. Boom! Pop you right on the head. Of course, you couldn't do that today. You'd get $1 million from the school district. But those were the days when he was free to pop us on the head. I think my head is still sore. Of course, I didn't need it. But I just want to say to you, if something like this under the yoke of Christ, giving up your old life and taking up a new life with Jesus, if that sounds kind of dangerous to you, it sounds kind of, I'm not sure, that's kind of hard, take all the fun out of life, I want to tell you something. Jesus said, I've come that you might have joy and have it abundantly. Jesus' way is the real life. And through this process of his teaching, he's never berated me or demeaned me. He has gently convicted me, corrected me, instructed me, guided me through a lot of hard issues of my life. And then the last thing. Lifelong learning involves a stunning promise. You can anchor, we can anchor our lives in this. That last part of verse 29, part C, where he says, and I will give you rest for your soul. For the yoke I give you fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light. He said, I will give you rest for your soul. Soul in the Bible, particularly in the Psalms, as you look through the Psalms, David used the soul over and over again, refers to the deepest, most fundamental part of our life. And that's where we're broken. And that's where he starts to put us together, make us whole. You read, it's awful today. In fact, most of the time, we no longer watch the news. Whether it's the news, whether it's news magazines, whether it's the daily newspaper, all we can see and read and hear about are broken souls. All over the world, brokenness, woundedness, messes that we get ourselves into. Jesus said, if you will submit yourself to me, intentionally, it's an intentional decision to commit ourselves to say, I, Lord Jesus, I desire to be your follower, your disciple. I want you to teach me how to live life at its fullest. I want you to teach me how to live life where I can then spread life and light wherever I go as a witness of yours. And so he promises genuine wholeness of soul. As I think back through the years, I've had many areas of brokenness in my life that Jesus has brought healing to. Some he's continuing to heal. But I know I grew up with a bent toward depression. And even as a pastor, into my pastoring years, until I was 40 years of age, there would be times when things didn't go well, didn't go right. There would be times when I didn't get my way. I would go into a three-day funk. And my wife, bless her heart, I wouldn't speak to her for 3 days. Until, in the process of those years, I realized, God, I don't like me. I don't want this. And through the process of others, and then finally, I remember at the dinner table, about 40 years of age, I see my wife, and at that time our son and daughter were there in the home, and I said to them, I said, you know, as your dad, I've got an issue here that I'm not very proud of the tendency toward depression and going into my, you know, wrapping myself up in myself. And when self gets self down, self is still on top. And it wasn't very pretty. And I said, you know, I've come to a decision. God will break this. He will break the stronghold. And I'm asking you to lay your hands on me and to pray for me as I submit myself to you and to God. You know something? It broke that cycle of some 25 years. And he gave me a new sense of dealing with issues when they didn't go my way. And you know, it doesn't matter anymore whether I get my way or not. It just doesn't matter, does it? God is enough. He is sufficient. He can take care of us. He said, I'd never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, how can I be down when he said he will never leave me nor forsake me? And so that's part of the healing process. That's just one area, one example of significant, real healing. And he brought me now at 70 years of age to a deep growing sense of peace and joy and contentment. But it's a process of letting him teach us how. That's the result of it. And then the easy yoke. The easy yoke means good in verse 30. My yoke fits perfectly. My yoke is easy. Means good and comfortable, not harsh or hard or sharp or pressing. And I discovered something as I looked into the background of this passage that each farmer shaped his yoke to fit each individual animal in the yoke. And it just struck me, that's the way Jesus does for us. He's gentle and he's lowly and he shapes his lifetime learning of discipline and training just to fit our particular needs. Isn't it amazing how God loves you and me, not as a group. He loves us individually. He loves us especially, just you. You are special. And he's come to live individually in your heart and 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 mine. And he shapes the process of schooling. He devises the disciplines and the classes just for what we need to accomplish his purpose. Your yoke is different than mine. He especially has training just for you. And his yoke is easy. In fact, the Message, Peterson, I like his translation of this. He puts it this way. Jesus said, walk with me, come. Walk with me and work with me and see how I do it. And learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love that. Finally, just remind us that the only way to discover that peace, the soul at peace, the only way to discover that life of abundance, the only way to discover a life of increasing light and salt in your world and my world is that we get under the yoke with Christ and let him show us how to do it day by day. This is authentic Christianity. But there's no shortcuts to a soul at rest. There's no shortcuts, no special experiences, no special services or concerts. Our hardest efforts will all end in failure. But deep inner transformation takes a lifetime of intentional commitment under the yoke of Christ as my teacher. Someone might ask, can I be a Christian and not go through this process? Can I be a Christian and not take up my cross and follow Christ? Can I be a Christian and not get under the yoke with Christ? Can I be a Christian and say, 10% me and 90% him? 5%? 2%? Jesus said, the only way it works is that we take up our cross and it's death to the old life. It's death to the old me. But remember what Jesus taught in John 12? Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. You see, the Christian who resists dying to his or her old life and taking up this new life as a pupil of Jesus risks a life of missed opportunity and regret. My wife and I were talking about this a few weeks back, and we made a list. What do we miss if we miss taking up the yoke? Here's a list we made. Refusing to get under the yoke of Christ and die to living life my way means that I miss out on a growing inner resources to deal with the tragedies of life, as well as the daily frustrations of life. Refusing to get under the yoke of Christ and dying to living life our way means missing inner healing and power to overcome a lifetime of hurts and wounds and brokenness. Missing out on the power of transformation of the inner person, personality, and character flaws. Missing out on the power to overcome anger and bitterness and unforgiveness that messes up so many lives. Missing out on the fantastic opportunity to be a living witness of the reality of Jesus Christ in this world, in this place where you are. There are people all over who are searching for peace, soul peace. Jesus is ready to share the reality through your life and mine if we'll get under the yoke with Him. Now, there is a higher cost of non-discipleship. The cost is much higher. Here's what Jesus said, and with this we close. In Matthew 7, 24 through 27, think about these words of Jesus. As He finishes up what we call the Sermon on the Mount, where He teaches about living life as His disciple, He says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man or wise woman who builds their house on the rock. And the rains come down, and the winds blow, and the floods come and beat on that house, and it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man or a foolish woman who built their house on the sand. And the rain came and the flood came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." I suggest to you, it's better to take up Jesus' invitation of "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light." I suggest to you, it's too costly to miss that. Let's pray. Father, I sense in my heart there are individuals here who have heard this message before, but you have them at a particular time in their life right now of decision. And I just pray for all of us, including myself, to embrace in a fresh, intentional way today your yoke. To say today, "Lord Jesus, please teach me. Please show me. Please guide me to your ways and how to walk in them and walk in obedience with you. And learn true freedom and learn true grace and true joy as your follower, as your disciple, as your pupil. Thank you for the work you're doing in the heart of each one of us here this morning who are open and available to you. In Christ's name, amen.